We all can't wait. I mean, it's Eagles season. You know, I mean, it's Philly season, but the Eagles start today with training camp, and obviously you can weigh in on what you're most excited about, 215-592-9494. I mean, the thing that really stokes me the most is the skill position players. I didn't see, you know, Tommy McDonald and Pete Retzloff and those guys, you know, going back 50, 60 years ago. I didn't see them. I tend to think, based on what I've heard, that while they had a great player or two or three, they never back then had this combination of four. I know with what I've seen with my own eyes, which is everything from the mid-'80s on, I know for sure they have never had a combination of these four players. I mean, what I am most excited about with this season, and again, you can weigh in what hits you the most, whether you're pumped up about, at 215-592-9494. The thing that hits me the most in a really positive way is this outrageous and unique collection of incredible skill position talent. And I'm talking, you guys know the four names: A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley. I mean, let's put it this way. I think Dallas Goedert is one of the five best tight ends in football, and I think he's the worst of those four players. Now think about that. He's one of the four best, he's one of the five best tight ends in football, and I think he's the worst of those four players, which means you got some incredible players. Because look, we saw B. West and T.O. together. It was incredible. But that was Todd Pinkston. You know, like we've seen combinations. You know, we saw obviously in the late 80s when the Eagles had Mike Quick and Chris Carter at the same time, but they couldn't run the ball. I mean, this is Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, with most of them in their prime. I mean, the only one I'd say it's probably not right square in his prime is probably Saquon.
But he's not that far from it. Joe,
well,
Jalen Hurts.
Let's not forget, Jalen Hurts is
no longer hurt. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts won't be wearing that big old knee brace under his pants that doesn't let him run the way we grew accustomed to seeing him run, with some burst.
Burst
that can achieve that corner and beat guys to the edge. That's what Jalen needs to do. And that's what Jalen will give us again. And then, holy cow, now he hands it off to Saquon. This offensive, this running game, that with our 800 pounds of guards paving the way, with Cam Jurgens, something to prove, moving people out of the way up front there. The greatest O-line Saquon Barkley has ever even considered in his career, and he gets to run behind him to great success all season. He and Jalen, the unhurt Jalen, pulling defenders for one another to where they can never be
well,
right.
Well, you know, James, you said something earlier that resonated with me and probably for a lot of people. Like, this is the year we're really going to find.
We're going to know. Again, especially the swing we've been on. 1 year ago, we thought Sirianni and Hurts might be the best combination of head coach and quarterback we're ever going to have here. And they were on this magical run. And this could be it. Like, this is such a massive season for both of these guys at the top of this organization. Yeah. We're going to know. Well, we're going to know right away.
Look, again, 215-592-9494 for what you're most pumped up about with the Eagles as they go to training camp today. Ruben, what are you most pumped up about with this squad?
Well, the talent. Obviously, I mean, when you start talking about, I mean, you said it. You're talking about basically five of the best athletes at their positions. I mean, the top, you can argue. I mean, I know people are you know, debating whether Jalen Hurts is a, you know, top 10 or top 15 quarterback. But as far as athleticism is concerned, he's definitely a top five, maybe a top three. It's whether or not he can make the decisions. And when you start talking about, like, the length and breadth of your talent offensively, I mean, it's mind-boggling how good it is. You need to have talent first. That said, if the scheme's not built and the leader of that group is not doing their job, then you're not going to be utilizing all
those talents. So, Ruben, let's just get you on the record here and then right to the phones, because everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Ruben, where are you on Jalen? Like, in a word, I would be skeptical. Anyone that's listened over the last couple months knows I'm skeptical on Jalen. I think he might reestablish, but I got some serious doubts. Where are you on Jalen Hurts?
My word would be hopeful, because I believe in this guy. I believe in his makeup. I believe in his talent. My concern is this guy really going to take the next step to be one of the best players in the game at his position? And he should be talent-wise, and I think he should be makeup-wise, but last year's collapse really concerns me.
The coaches let him down, Rube.
Yeah, but he let them down.
The coaches
didn't. He let them down.
John, his decision-making was not good.
Okay,
he had opportunities.
I agree, but they have to teach him to make the decisions. They have to teach him the progressions. They have to teach him.
You know what, John? $250 million, though. He's got to be better.
But come on, man. But after he didn't even have pass protection last season.
But after 4 years,
are you kidding me?
You have to have much better instinct to be able to play that position. You start
when they're not pass protecting for you.
If your quarterback doesn't have the instinct to make the plays that he has to make or has to check off to, then that's a concern.
Quickly. I know that quickly. He has that quickly. Ability. I've watched him do it.
I'm hopeful
I've
that he does.
I've watched him when the offensive coordinator is calling the right plays.
I've never seen him get the ball out fast, ever, consistently, ever. Ever.
Well, I believe ever. That he,
you're
I
right.
believe
that
he can do it.
That is something he can get better at.
It's the instinct.
All right, give me an answer here. Yeah. Jalen, let's all go on the record where we are. Jalen, in a word or phrase, in your opinion, is what?
One word?
Or phrase.
Oh, okay. He's on the hot seat.
Well, he is on the hot seat. What's your opinion?
I worry that he's too stubborn to change. That is a concern of mine. I mean, and we're going to know.
Carson had that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my concern is that this organization is now looking at this happening two times in a row with their franchise quarterbacks. This could be an organization problem that if they don't fix Jalen, that this doesn't all get worked out. But I just think it's there. I saw it in 2022.
We all saw it. I mean, he was...
But I think
so close to win the Super Bowl.
There was something going on where, you know, and John, I hear what you're saying about the protection, but there were guys open all over the field. We saw them.
Agreed.
I mean, all the
time. Sometimes. Agreed.
It's hard to know what he's seeing from his perspective.
That's the point. What is it? He's not seeing them.
That is the point. I mean, That's one of my main points. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. On a really big day as the Eagles go to training camp. 76ers, by the way, also unveil Paul George Day. Introductory press conference of Paul George in Philadelphia. Obviously, pretty damn great big three. I mean, it's an exciting day for the 76ers. It really is. I mean, think about it, guys. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Paul George. Whether you go Embiid, Maxey, George, or Embiid, George, Maxey. The reality is, it's a phenomenal big three.
George, Maxey, Embiid?
George, I hope it better not be. It better not be.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you the other thing it better not be. I just want to put this out there before this press conference. So we're going to air this press conference at 1. Dorian, Joe, and Hughes show, press conference, Paul George, right here on WIP, 1 o'clock. I don't know who will be up there with him. I don't know if the owner, Josh Harris, or the general manager, Daryl Morey.
Josh is busy with the Commanders.
Or Nick Nurse. Yeah, I don't know who's there. Nick Nurse. I don't know who's there. But here's what I do know. I beg the Sixers to not go on a victory lap tour today in this press conference. Like, this has to be a lot more Barry Sanders-esque than, you know, we are on the cusp of winning a championship.
You don't want balloons like they had with Andrew Bynum?
I don't want that. Yeah, that was a joke. Like, Sixers, I beg you. Like, you've got the town's interest. You got something going here. But don't spike the ball before you've won anything. That's just my word of the wise to the Sixers. Do what you want. You're going to do whatever you want, whatever you do anyway. But I'm just telling you, I'm not in the mood to hear about championships before you go out there and just freaking win something. All right, but it's an exciting day. Don't get me wrong. 215-592-9494. It's 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Let's talk to Greg. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, guys. The fact that you said championships and they haven't gotten out of the second round is amazing.
You get my point, right, Greg?
Oh, my God, you got to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, there's two things in sports, and I've been watching sports for 40 years that I don't understand. How guys who are receiving a serve in tennis can catch up to a 100-mile-an-hour serve.
Yep.
The other thing is when guys like Ruben talk about guys getting their hand on top of the ball and can see the difference in what somebody's swinging, I've never been able to do that, and that makes your talent, Ruben, amazing.
That's
like,
a great point,
I don't know,
Greg.
It just popped out.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I agree with you.
I don't see that stuff. When I listen to Ruben talk about it, I feel like I learn something every day.
I just nod my head like a bobblehead guy. Okay, I buy it. I buy that. guys, one thing on the Saquon conversation. At the beginning of that conversation, when the GM says, hey, and this is when I knew Saquon knew he was gone. Shane says, we appreciate everything you did for us. You know, that's almost, he might not have meant it, but if he had said something like, we appreciate everything you've done for us, and that wow. I mean, it's a nuance, but
yeah
that kind of leaves the door open. Sure. That, okay, you know, he wants us back. But when you say did, it puts a kind of a finality on things.
I didn't think about the tense.
That's interesting.
Of what was being said. I thought about the fact that when Shane said to him, can we get your word on that? And Saquon was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, that to me was the kiss of death. Like, as soon as that exchange happened, it was very clear that he was not going to be a Giant. Like, that, whatever that was, that sense of, I don't know, conflict?
Well, that and also, John, I'd say when the general manager said to him, if you really want to be a Giant for life, like almost like using his words against him.
Almost
like
a challenge.
A challenge. Prove it to us then.
Yeah, it felt like headbutting-esque, even though it was supposed to be like, hey, let's work on something together.
I agree. Yeah. Yep.
They kind of used his comments about wanting to be a Giant for life kind of against him.
Exactly.
I totally agree.
Exactly. In that conversation.
Acid. Hey, do you really? Yeah. I thought I would have been offended if I were Saquon.
All right, Greg,
situation.
Give me a great answer. This is for Imagine Dragon tickets. Food or drink in a title?
American Pie.
American Pie is a good answer. Now, I'm assuming he's saying the song.
Great
There's also a movie. Which I went back and watched American Reunion the other day. So we'll give him the song, right? I
mean,
song's better.
Yeah.
Song is better.
American Reunion. So what
song
number?
Is classic. That's the newest one, right?
It was 2012.
Yeah, it was the most recent one of them.
Yeah, it rounded the
I
whole thing
those
out.
Those weren't good.
No, the last one was great, John. Great movie.
American Pie was great.
Dude, Stifler gets with the other guy's mom.
The fourth American Pie?
Yeah, they bring it
that
full circle.
That did it for you.
How many times have you watched this?
That one, so I remember that thing would pop. Now, it's not too many. That thing would pop on HBO probably in the 2015 range. I would say I probably saw American Reunion about 6 to 9 times.
It's got a robust 45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm telling you, it's good.
Great.
It's very good.
You're saying good.
All right, Ruben, speaking of answers. So we played the audio of Joe Shane earlier when he was talking to Saquon and trying to kind of, you know, verbally caress him into like, we want you, I know. Well, verbally, that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
So, Ruben, how uncomfortable is it? And maybe you don't have this conversation directly with the player. Maybe it only happens through the agent. But, like, let's take – you had some scenarios where it's like, we might want you back, but not at a certain price. Jason Wirth, Pat Burrell. I mean, you had examples where it's like, dude, you've done a lot for us, but we don't choose to re-sign you for the money the other team's given you. What is that like when you have the relationship with the player as a person?
The verbal correction.
And you're trying really to kind of – how is that?
Super uncomfortable. And it is typically something in these situations. Listen, for me, if the GM wanted Saquon Barkley back, he goes and takes him to dinner and goes one-on-one face-to-face. That's the respect that he deserved. If he really wanted him back, that's what he would do. Because if I am a free agent and I've been an important part and the only part of what the Giants have been over the last several years, then and I want this guy back, then we go out one-on-one and have dinner and talk about it, and that's
and
what
we don't
I would
know
do
that
if
he
I really wanted him back.
We don't know that he didn't try that, though. We don't know that Joe Shane didn't say, hey, let's try to get something set up, Saquon.
I can't imagine
they
if
might
Saquon,
have been past that point,
no
though.
Way. If Saquon
that's
really
what went, I think.
He's been telling them for years that he wants to be a Giant, doesn't want to go anywhere. If the guy wants the man back, he takes him to dinner. They talk about it one-on-one.
Mm.
I had to make those decisions, especially with Pat Burrell. Super uncomfortable. I love Pat. But I was moving on from him.
And it was also right after you won the World Series.
I literally had to, right after we won the World Series. Yeah. And now I'm, spinning because I'm the GM now. And, which never happens. Right. You never become a GM after a team wins.
Right.
That's a great point, Ruben. It never happens.
Now I got to go try to do 400 other things. One of them is replacing my left fielder. I was on Ibanez, and I wanted that guy. And I ended up taking him to dinner and making the move. But I had to make a phone call, which I did not want to do. I wanted to do it face-to-face to Pat Burrell because I was on my way to the GM meetings. And I had to let him know immediately, hey, you're not coming back. It sucked. I did not like having that conversation, but that's what you got to do. And I wanted to do it face-to-face because he deserved that.
Yeah.
But I had to have a long conversation with him. I was literally in the airport when I called him.
That is fascinating.
It sucked.
Yeah.
I did not care for it, but I had to do it because that you have to wear the black hat sometimes.
And I would expect that Joe Shane wanted to do that with Saquon, wanted to make it personal, you know, sit down and do that. But
I don't think he did. I don't. If he really wanted to, then he would have done
John,
it.
John,
he's too important.
He could have if he really wanted to.
Of course he would have. If he really wanted him, you go sit down with him and you have a chat with him and you say, man to man, do you really want to be a Giant? And I really want you to be a Giant.
Yeah.
It's clear to me that this guy did not want this person back on this squad.
Well, I'll frame it slightly different. I think he wanted the person. I think he wanted the player. I don't think he wanted the player at too high a price.
Well, that's what Saquon took away from him.
He didn't want him enough.
Saquon took away from it. Essentially, I was worth $9 million, and he wasn't going
to
budge.
I mean, gosh,
if I'm Saquon,
I sit there and go, they don't really want me.
Yeah.
Because if they really wanted me, they would have made the move.
No, I agree with that.
They want me, but they don't want me as much as the Eagles want me. The Eagles want me for $12 million a year. They want me for $9 million.
And they mismanaged their cap. Yeah.
Well, they mismanaged their cap, they mismanaged their team, and they mismanaged their relationship. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is what we're talking about with Saquon in March was the end of like a 3 to 4 year odyssey of back and forth. I mean, that thing lasted 700 to 1,000 days. That went on and on and on and on.
And he didn't get to the point of no return where, you know, they're already past where there's a chance because Howie manages these relationships more appropriately beforehand.
I agree with that.
It didn't get out of hand.
And let me give you another one on that, because I think there's something fascinating in the NFL that really, while it's gotten attention, has not gotten enough attention. What is going on in Dallas would never, ever happen here with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. The Dallas Cowboys have three players who are their three best players. They are their three best, they are their three most important players, and they are all truly, well, two of them are truly great, and one of them, Dak Prescott, is pretty damn good. They have their star quarterback, Dak Prescott, who wanted a new long-term deal, didn't get it. They have their star...
Oh, they redid his deal.
No, but, not a long-term deal. They have their star pass rusher, who might be the best defensive player in football, eligible for a new contract, but didn't get it. They have a wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb, also eligible for a contract, didn't get it. Like,
it would never, ever happen here.
Because
their quarterback has them over a barrel, and it's almost like they're waiting for him to do the right thing and take less. Like, are you serious? You're really, I don't know what their intentions are.
Yeah.
I know that it is a disaster, and it's great for us.
Well, look, what Saquon Barkley said in this interview from yesterday about joining the Eagles and playing here in Philadelphia in front of Eagles fans coming up, we'll get to that audio. Rock all your calls. More on the Phils and on Joel Embiid as well with Team USA. All of that with Ruben in studio, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
It's hot out there, and if you're tired of paying high utility bills every month because your home AC keeps running, it's because your windows aren't energy efficient. If yours are builder grade or over 8 years old, the seals are likely broken. Air is leaking out, and you're paying the price in high utility bills all year long.
Window Nation's high-quality windows are built to last a lifetime. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free, and there's no limit on how much you could save. Plus, you could save even more with zero down and no interest or payments for 24 months.
Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty and can be installed in 1 day or less. They were even recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies, so you can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows. Stop paying more than you have to.
Schedule a fast in-home estimate right.
baseball season, baby.
It's here.
That's great, man. So the players go to camp today. Sirianni will address the squad. Not Kellen Moore addressing the squad. Not Vic Fangio addressing the squad. Look, it is, for me, it's been fun talking football today. I hope you're enjoying it because, you know, we're going to have a lot of coverage over the next 6, 7, maybe 8 months. Yes, John.
Do you think everyone passes this conditioning test?
You're the only person thinking about that. Nobody cares.
It is a big
deal.
That's a football player.
Oh, my
gosh. Most nerve-wracking thing there is.
How Richie is that?
Yeah. I had to go through.
There's not one listener thinking about it.
You know what? If they don't pass it, they'll get in shape and then it'll be done.
There was like this suicide run. They called it the suicide run. You can't say that anymore.
Devastating. So as you're getting up in years, at least for me, the closer I got to 30, once I was 30, it was hard. I had to run the same time as Brian Westbrook. Right.
That's not fair.
I'm trying to make a team in Cleveland with like Manny Ramirez and Kenny Lofton and Albert Bell on the team, and I'm going, I better be in the greatest shape of my life.
Yes, exactly.
And it better not have anything to do with being able to run this little. This little test.
It
was ridiculous.
But it means something.
You weren't going to get many pinch hits on that team, right?
Not many opportunities. No,
you're not filling in for Robbie Alomar too often, right?
No, I'm not. There was Kenny Lofton against a tough left-hander like once every 3 months. Good luck.
Classic. All right,
you'd get to come in and face Randy Johnson or something.
Exactly
that's sweet.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I know.
That's exactly right. Because Kenny Lofton's like, all right, I'm good today.
Today's not my day.
Oh, wow.
Go get him, Ken.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in, obviously, on the Eagles. And, you know, what has you pumped up as they go to training camp today? Let me give you something on the flip side on the Phils. Not pumped up, but I think now, for me, a concern. Now, I'm not saying massive concern, but I'm saying concern. Ranger. Let me just give you the last 4 stars for Ranger. First off, you might not know this. He hasn't won a start since June 8th. Kind of a long time ago at this point. So here's the last 4, and he maintained a pretty high level there for a portion since June 8th. But the last 4, here's what he's done. 4 2/3, 6 earned runs. 5 innings, 5 earned runs. 6 innings, 4 earned runs. Last night, 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. Now, was it a disastrous start? Of course not. And Rob Thompson, I thought, really had his back. Maybe it was shooting straight. I mean, let's play what Rob Thompson said. Because Rob Thompson either was saying what Ruben was saying, which was that his stuff was pretty good and it wasn't that bad, or he was just trying to have his players back. Here's Rob Thompson after the game.
How did you feel about Ranger?
Much better. The velocity was a little bit better than it was in his last couple of starts. But he landed his breaking ball when he needed to behind the count, and he put the breaking ball where he wanted to on put-away pitches. So got the ball to his glove side, and those were the things that we were looking for.
All right, well, might have been some of the stuff you were looking for. It also wasn't good enough. I mean, just wasn't. Team lost. He lost.
It was better.
He lost.
But the offense was not terrible.
I know.
Come on. He's not going to throw shut out right. Every single time.
Here's where I'm at with Ranger, and you guys know I love him. He is my favorite Phil. After Rhys Hoskins was off this team, Ranger became, on the team, my favorite Phil. But here's what struck me, and I thought of it actually about an hour ago when we talked about him.
He's your favorite Phil?
He's my favorite Phil.
That's awesome.
Current team.
One of my favorites.
He might be, and I mean this is no disrespect, because he's a good 3. It might be like Michael Vick in 2010. That you got like Superman for like 10 games.
It was like, 7 game stretch where he was amazing.
Like, I remember,
you don't believe in your favorite Phil.
No, but here's the deal. When Vick was in that run, I remember thinking, like, there's no way he's going to throw an interception. He never throws an interception. But we also had seen Michael Vick enough in his Atlanta days to know, like, he never played this good before. And he did that for about 10 games, and then he never played that way again, ever. Ever.
No, the Joe Webb game happened, and then they were done.
Yeah. Guys, trust me. I'm happy Ranger's here. I love Ranger. I mean, heck of a 3rd starter, the whole thing. But what I think a lot of us kind of got used to in April and May and a portion of June, thinking Ranger was like there with Wheeler and Nola, probably not. And that's a high and hard standard. But, he's
Yeah.
Slinking
I think
back
I
right
was
now.
Seduced. I was seduced hold by on. This idea that Ranger was
you
really
give me the hold
like
on, Ruben?
A
I'm
1
giving you
point
a hold on.
ERA guy.
Okay. Slow it down. The man has never logged this many innings in the first part of the season in his career. He is still getting through that process. There is a dead arm period for guys. It happens. It's real. He logged so many innings. It was so good that he, I mean, nobody is this good for 32 starts. It's not happening. He was so dominant that the expectation becomes, well, he's going to throw
Ruben, I have
seven
a,
innings
how
at
long
one.
Ruben, I have a friend.
There's only one guy who can do that. It's Doc Halliday.
Ruben, I got a friend with a theory. He says it all changed when Ranger's family got here for the first time.
I've heard that one, too.
Have they gone back?
Stop. I don't know.
How long
stop it. That's
does,
not nice.
How long does the dip?
That's not nice.
How long does the dip down last?
Yesterday, it can be like 3 or 4 starts.
Okay. So he's probably almost
that's
through
why
it at this
that's
point.
That's why when my biggest thing was to watch him pitch and to watch his effort level, because you could see that he was much more like his first 2 months than his last month.
So
in the way he was... The ball was coming out of his hand, the way his arm was working, his command, all those things were much closer to where he was
and the late,
early in the season.
And the late movement, everything that you saw yesterday encouraged you from that standpoint.
Very much so.
That's great.
Very much so.
Well, I'm encouraged by that, too, but I don't like what I've seen for about a month now. I'll just say that. 215-592-9494. By the way, time's yours. You can call time's yours if, you know, oftentimes you get a busy signal when you call into the show, want to get your point made. Wechter says that we need some time's yours call. I mean, James, otherwise we just, don't do the time's yours segment
today?
Yeah,
I guess it would not be a segment.
Just won't do
it. Would hit the open. You'd say play the calls. I'd say I have no calls.
No
hit
calls.
The close,
that wouldn't be good. All right, so whether it's the comment on Ranger or Saquon or what you're pumped up with the Eagles or if you want to what you think Sirianni's, that would be a good time's yours call. I'd like to hear from people what you imagine Nick Sirianni's opening speech to the team is like today.
Or how about this? How about this? What's Nick going to say when he gets asked about Jalen's answer with the very first question in the first press conference tomorrow? Because you know that's the first question coming Nick's way is, Nick, what do you make of what Jalen said?
But I will say, you're right. No, James, you're right. I'll tell you this. I think Nick will handle it fine.
Oh, I do too.
The big question is how Jalen's going to say.
Of course.
That's the big one. But look, time's yours is there for you. And you can call right now and make the show at 945-215-238-4500 for Time's Yours today. By the way, we actually have a couple of open lines right now, which is very rare. So you can hop in on the regular phone lines, 215-592-9494. And we're going to get to Saquon Barkley and something he said yesterday about joining the Birds. Let's go to Ed. He's calling from Phoenixville right now. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, guys. How's everything going?
It's going great, Ed. We got football on the way.
All good, Ed.
Something's in the air, man. Like yesterday, I bought a PS5. I got NCAA Football 25. I got that hooked up.
Ooh, it's nice.
So I treated myself yesterday. Looking forward to the Birds.
So do you run student body right and left on almost every play like I did when I first got NCAA football?
Nobody wanted to play with me in college because I would do full house backfield, 2 tight ends. I would run the play clock down to 1 second. And these guys who had way more video game acumen than I did would lose by 3 points.
Oh.
And one of my teammates said, I can't say the word on the air, but that's some B-ball right there.
Mm.
It was effective, though.
I know people are very pumped up that this game is back, and it took a long time. It took a long time.
Because
guys like John Ritchie wanted to sue, but it's all another matter.
I really appreciate what you said, Ruben, about sitting a player down and talking to him face to face. I think that's so important. Just in life when you have you have to deliver bad news to somebody. I mean, the fact that you had to do that on a number of fronts. I mean, I couldn't do that, so I really appreciate that perspective. But the thing I really took away from the Saquon thing was, it seemed like the GM who was shuffling his assets just to get Brian Burns, and something just didn't seem right. He was having these friendly conversations with his buddy Dan Morgan on the sideline, give me 2 firsts for Brian Burns, ha-ha. And, he almost just trivialized the rest of his roster. Like, it's just, he's like, yeah, I got John Runyon Jr. Great. I got this Illuminor guy who
Ed, here's like, the like, Ed, I'll say this in the Giants GM's defense. They weren't going anywhere with Saquon. I mean, NFL history is littered with teams that have great running backs and the rest of the team stinks and they don't win anything. And so, you know, I understand their mindset. I mean, I've kind of poked fun at them and him at times, obviously. But I do get the broader picture, which was it wasn't working. I'm not saying it was Saquon's fault, but it just wasn't working. So I can understand them trying something different.
Yeah, so, back to what Ruben story about Pat Burrell, yep. Like it just seems like this GM has that quote-unquote keyboard courage, like, the, you know, just sit the guy in here. Like, one thing I think Hard Knocks does so well, and it's such a tough thing to watch, is when they have to cut a player and they call him into the GM's office and he has to have that real conversation with them. But then you hear him, like, I'll do what I can to get you on a practice squad.
Totally. Look, I remember Jerry Jones having one of those conversations with Danny Amendola like 10, 12 years ago. Then he turned into a really good player. Really good player. He was here briefly. He was in Dallas briefly and obviously was a heck of a player for New England. Ed, give me a great answer here. Food or drink in a title?
One of my favorite shows growing up as a kid, Good Burger.
Good Burger. You got it, man. Appreciate the call. All right, let's listen to more Saquon because, you know, he said a lot in this interview from yesterday with Diana Russini. And one of the things that they covered was the concept of him joining the Eagles. This was interesting stuff. Here's Saquon yesterday.
Who's the first person that calls you from Philadelphia to say, welcome to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Howie.
So yeah. Howie Roseman called you.
Howie. So after it was like we signed and it was like, I forgot the time, at like 4 o'clock, he FaceTimed me. And like my first time talking to Howie. And I was like, obviously I'm familiar with Howie and like I like know of Howie because going against him. But he's on the practice field and he got that big old smile on his face. And then that's like when I was like, all right, like it's really here. And he told me, I'll come up here and do the signing, get it done. And then when I came into the building, you know, you see the Eagles jersey, the Saquon Barkley jersey, and you're just like, dang, like, okay, like, it's a little weird, but like, all right. And then OTAs came and it was like, it's like, you know how like you're a high schooler and you got to go to a new school or something like that. And you're nervous about that new school. And like the second you go into that new school, it's just like everyone, you know, welcome to arms, nothing but love. And I fit right in, and I'm super excited about it.
Good answer. It's a really good answer. I mean, John, you joined the Eagles. No, it was less heralded, but you know, like they do treat their but they do treat their players well.
You know, I thought it was incredible. Andy Reid slid the contract across the table. I signed it, and then he said, "Why don't we say hi to your mom and dad?" And it was a surprise.
Yeah,
a car pulled up. And he, you know, drove. He planned. He had plans to drive me to Mechanicsburg to say, "Mom and Dad, I'm home." You know, like
wow,
that's how you do it.
That was cool. That was, and I was not a big signing or anything, but it was like the family touch that really made it special.
That's fantastic.
And Ruben, is it fair to say? Because this would be my sense, and you lived it as a player, but more so in these type of things as a general manager. Is it fair to say that at times, Ruben, not always, but at times, when things get tough, that gives you extra leeway with the player because you've built capital with that player?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That's something that you want to humanize their... I see what's happening now in a lot of places, and they're like chess pieces being placed here and there, and that's not the way to do it.
You don't want the players to feel that way.
And as a player, you want honesty. When I had to send a guy out or release a guy, I mean, I think it was Ken Bottenfield one time. He was really struggling, and he knew it, and he could not get people out. And we finally had to release the guy. He was like, you know, fifth guy in a rotation. We had signed him because we needed some depth. And I had a conversation with the man because he deserved it. He was a veteran pitcher who signed with us getting an opportunity, just could not do the job. And that was a tough conversation because I liked the guy. And I think he deserved to be talked to like a human being. You're changing this person's life by releasing
him. Well, that's very similar. It sounds like what Rob Thompson said about 10 days ago on Whit Merrifield.
Awful. It's a bad feeling, especially when you have great respect for that player and he gives you everything he's got, but he just doesn't have
it. Yeah, it's the worst.
That is
am I a bad guy as a Phillies fan to say Whit Merrifield traitor for now playing for the Braves?
You are.
Traitor.
You're not a traitor at all. I would do exactly what I would do.
And he's injured now, so you don't have to worry about it.
I'm just joking.
If I was him, I would do the same exact thing. No, well, I'm going to go play for a contender, not a contending team.
All right. More from Saquon, because he also talked about the idea of specifically playing. Like, for the Eagles fans, he seems to get us. What you're about to hear, I appreciate when I first heard it. I'm going to guess you will as well. I mean, it really sounds to me like Saquon gets us.
What was Philadelphia when you were New York Giant?
Crazy. Yeah. But they're still crazy, but in a different way. Like, it was more of like, when you're on the Giant side, you're like, oh, these are insane. But like, in this side, you're like, oh, no, it's like, this is, they bleed this. Like, this is Philly. Like, this is like, it's Eagles, Flyers, Philly. Like, they bleed this. Like, we lose on Sunday, like, they're having a bad week. Like, if it impacts your week, like, Philly fans, and even like Nick, like when Nick, I remember, you know, playing him in the playoffs, and like you see him across the sideline, and like he's doing all this stuff like that, and like we on that side, you're just like, oh man, like I know I will never stand that guy. And then like I'm in meetings with him, and he's a head coach, and I'm sitting to talk to him, and now me and him are like this, like we're locked in, and it's like same thing with Jalen, same thing with all those guys. So it's like it's different from seeing it that side, but when you're here, and it's like especially the fans, it's like. Wow, like it gives you like similar to that college vibe.
A lot of good vibes with Saquon.
He's so excited to talk about it. And that last sentence, it's so similar to the college vibe.
Yeah.
It is not like this in other cities, folks. Like I'm just letting you know, we truly are unique and awesome. And kudos to us as a fan base, because it's different here than it is everywhere else in the country.
Well, and also I'll say this. So, yes, us as fans and our passion, but as the Eagles go to training camp today, I got to give an appreciation shout out to Dick Vermeil, to Buddy Ryan. I mean, there are some people, obviously Bednarik back in the day, Van Buren, like there are people whom this organization was built on the back of, or it was already built but raised up higher. You know, I mean, guys like Vermeil and Buddy stoked it. I mean, Ruben, you were a kid in the Vermeil days.
Oh, yeah.
You were a little older in the Buddy
loved
days.
Loved him.
They both took it up notches.
So did Andy,
loved
too.
Loved all of them.
Well,
it's worth
it because of the sustained, for the sustained greatness.
I agree with that.
Or, you know, goodness.
But
we have
to in a different way.
But what Joe's trying to say is, like, we were more of a baseball town. My family growing up, we were baseball. I mean, that was... And then, you know, Dick came in and they started to win.
Yep.
And then Buddy stoked into that hatred of the Cowboys. And it really just took it to a whole nother level.
And by the way, speaking of the Cowboys, one other thing, and then right to the phones.
Well, then we won. Every year with Andy to where we were a dominant force.
Kind of won.
I know.
Because when you said then we won, I thought you were saying 2017. You're giving me all the NFC championship. Look, I got a lot of love for those teams.
I believed we were the best team in the NFC.
Well, yeah, Donovan didn't play as such when it mattered most, but I hear you. One other quick thing, then to the phones. Because, you know, Dallas was just referenced there. I mean, who that saw this story yesterday did not get a chuckle? I mean, are you kidding me? The Dallas Cowboys, of course, also opening up training camp. You know, they're all opening up training camp this week. So the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, we're all very familiar with him, had to move a press conference. You know, he has his own, because he's not only the owner, he's the general manager. So he was going to have his, you know, I'm Jerry Jones press conference thing. They had to move the press conference because he's in a legal situation centered around whether he is or is not the father
of
someone.
That's still going on?
Like, yes, that's still going
on. Wow.
Just get Maury Povich in here and settle this already. What are we doing?
I mean, and there's talk that, like, it was supposed to be hush-hush, but, like, she talked about
it.
And
hush-hush.
And like, so, like, the owner can't even have his opening season press conference because, like... You are the dad. All right, let's go to the phones.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, you know what? One more thing on Dallas. Let me rip them one more time now that we're at it. Because I think one of the other things that's exciting about this football season is I think it's a pretty wide-open NFC. Now, I don't say that saying there's not good teams. There are good teams. San Fran's good. They're probably very good. Green Bay, I think, is very solid. No, I agree. But I also expect San Fran to come down a notch. Teams typically do when they lose the Super Bowl. You guys know my theory. McCaffrey's going to be out for the season at some point with an injury. Green Bay's good.
That's not nice, man.
Book it. Book it.
Don't say
it. Book
that.
It, Ruben.
That's bad karma,
Ruben,
though, bro.
Nah, Ruben, I like Ruben. It.
Say it.
This guy can't do it,
yeah,
man.
But you don't want to jinx. You don't want to jinx yourself.
No. I'm on the record. Ladies and gentlemen, the hammer has spoken. Let the world go. Let the word go forth.
The hammer
has spoken. McCaffrey, at some point, will be out for the year. But anyway, while I'm ripping people,
let me
rip Dallas also, because Ross Tucker gave us an answer yesterday about the Cowboys, who are a good team. But Ross had an interesting comment yesterday on our show about Dallas. What's the deal with the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they don't take a step back. Very surprised if they don't take a step back. I mean, it would be hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find a position where you would argue that they got better. And there's a lot of positions where they clearly got worse. Center is one. Left tackle, they're going to play a rookie left tackle, Tyler Guyton, mm-hmm. who started like 12 games in college, instead of Tyron Smith. At running back, instead of Tony Pollard, right now it's Zeke is their starter. I mean, mm-hmm. guys, it's they have a chance, I think. They have too many good players to be a disaster, but I'd be really surprised. They've won, I think, 12 games 3 years in a row. That would surprise me. I would think that the Cowboys take a step back.
They don't have the horsepower.
They're clearly worse at several important positions.
Love it. Totally love it. All right, so you can weigh in on all this, including, because I hadn't heard anyone else say that until then. Look, maybe Russ is right, maybe he's wrong. But I like it.
Well, it's been an ongoing saga.
It's been a weird offseason.
Has been like, what in the world are the Dallas Cowboys doing? They're not doing anything.
I know.
Like, straight out the gates, they redid Dak like a little bit, but it saved them, I guess, like $5 million, something like a pittance against the cap, and then nothing.
I know. No, I'm with. By the way, Seltzer, I don't have anything on my board here that's like celebratory Eagles. Can I play? I'm going to play the Flyers horn to celebrate the Cowboys' demise.
Okay.
I got a Flyers horn now. Even the Flyers are happy that the Dallas Cowboys are maybe heading downhill. James, what do you got in there?
Yeah, we have an answer to a question that was asked earlier in
Reddick?
The show. Yeah, Adam Schefter. Sources, Jets defensive end Hassan Reddick, who has not landed the new contract he's been asking, is not planning to report to training camp today with the rest of the team.
And there you have it. I mean, how he does stuff for a reason, brother. Listen, I have a lot of faith in this man. I do. And it's not just because I'm friendly with the guy.
Best brother since Hulk Hogan over the weekend.
Hey, brother. I'm telling you, because the guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
It does make
it
Howie look better.
It doesn't work all the time. They don't win every year.
Right.
But he puts them in a position to have success.
He knew.
He knows what's going down.
He knew Hassan Reddick was going to dig his
heels
in. Yeah. And I guess Joe
That's
Douglas.
A good boom, too.
That maybe is a he good could boom. Finesse this.
That is a really good boom. We got a brother and a boom from Ruben there. All right. A lot of calls on the Eagles. And Phil's also, I'm going to get to some Joel Embiid audio this segment as well. He said something 2 days ago that we played yesterday that bugged a lot of us. There's another piece of audio I want to play that I think is also going to annoy people, even if he's right to an extent. I don't like what he's framing here, and we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk to Christine. In Schwanksville. Good morning, Christine.
Hey, guys. Christine here.
What's up, Christine?
Hello, Christine.
Hey, first of all, John Ritchie, do not downsize your signing. You did that. That was very self-deprecating. When you signed and he wanted to talk to your mom and dad, you shouldn't do that.
What? Well, he was saying he's not as big a deal as Saquon being signed. Here's Christine, here's the way.
Saquon's better than me.
I got T.O. coming here.
Don't say
Saquon
that, John.
Second,
come on. Don't say that.
And Richie third. I got Richie joining the Eagles above Nick Foles coming back to the Eagles. All right?
Well,
no one knew at the time he was about to win a Super Bowl. I mean, to be honest with you. Frankly.
Yeah, I mean, Richie was signed as a starter, right?
John coming here was a bigger deal than Nick Foles.
He was a starter. Nick Foles a backup.
Yeah. Christine, you're very kind.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
thank you.
Don't downplay yourself.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And,
it was really cool pulling up to my, you know, childhood home in a car that Reid sent me in.
What if you didn't sign the document?
I don't know.
Was he going to send your parents home?
I think he had.
No, not my parents. He drove me to go see my parents.
To go see him.
Oh, I thought they were being driven in, is what you said.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. All right. So he was safe. He was, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Christine, what do you got? What do you got on the film?
To the airport, otherwise.
All right.
Yes.
So I've got a quote for you about Suarez. Women weaken legs rock.
Yeah, that was from Mickey. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that everyone's like, Ranger, you know, his wife and kids are in, I agree.
Oh, no.
This is what you started, Joe DeCamera.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't me. It's a buddy of mine.
But you went with it.
I know, guys.
Causing problems here.
I know players who abstain completely. During the regular season.
Well,
I know
come on.
People who do.
But Joe, pitchers have an advantage. You only got to go every 5 days. I mean, you got your off days. You got your side throw days.
I'm telling you, I know people who abstain for the entire season.
Wow. There's one thing that may have affected Ranger as far as his personal stuff is concerned, and that may be his routine. His routine may have been a little altered.
It could have been.
Two small children will do that to you.
Sure.
That is something that is a possibility that could have affected him, but I believe it's more about the workload than the family.
I think it changed right around then. Wasn't he also hit by a line drive? Am I remembering this?
He was right around there on his hand, right before London.
But if he had any issue with his hand, he would not have pitched. And he came back and pitched. He was fine.
He did. All right, Christine, give me a big answer here.
He didn't miss any time for that.
For food or drink in a title, Christine?
I'm struggling with this a little bit, but Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue. I don't know that one.
Nah, it's a TV show, but I don't think that. Well, I mean, bar is not a food or a drink.
You could say a bar is
a place you get it,
There's
but it's
better.
Not.
You could say it's a candy bar.
Just say freaking tequila. Say tequila.
There you go.
Great song. I don't know if it's a great song. It's a good enough song.
Yeah.
Tequila, the better answer than
I think
you do like
bar
to bring tequila.
I do like tequila.
It's a go-to for you.
Ruben, how many words? Not okay. Let me.
One.
That's correct. Richie, why do you got to do that?
Because
I'm not trying to ask Ruben how many words are in the song Tequila.
I think I already.
How many words are said?
I think I sort of gave it away when I talked about the fact that.
Did you know that, Ruben? It's the only word in the song. It's pretty amazing. All right, Joel Embiid said more than one word. He actually said a lot.
Tequila.
It's good. Oh, matter of fact, hold on.
Tequila.
I got Ranger here. Now that I think about it, let me find Ranger. Here we go.
Ranger.
We haven't been playing that song lately. Come
Maybe
on, right?
That's why he's been struggling. We haven't played a song. Again. It's all on you, DeCamera.
All right.
It's actually Ranier.
All right, Joel Embiid. So we played yesterday some audio of this interview we had with the New York Times. Here's another piece of audio from that interview we haven't played yet. It's a good question. It's a thoughtful answer. But in my opinion, while there is some truth to what he says here, clearly, there's a lot of excuses, and I don't like that. Listen to this exchange Joel had earlier this week with someone interviewing him from the New York Times.
Do you find yourself ever having questions about, in the long term, whether Philly is the place where you can win a championship? Because there has been that sort of tumultuousness with the franchise since you've been there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody asks themselves questions. If you care about the right things and you care about winning, and it hasn't happened, which I'm probably at fault too.
But well, why would you be at fault?
Because I'm in injuries. I don't perform, at the level that I should. So that's why I'm at fault. But then again, if you want to win, the thing that I always talked about is, stability, continuity. Actually, having three coaches based on what I've seen is not too bad. It's not too bad. But still three coaches, three different systems. And, even within those coaches, every single year something different. And then the players, every single year is like, new co-star, like new players. And when you start looking at teams that have won, whether it's Golden State, Boston this year, Denver last year, those guys have been together for a long time. And then they just added a few other pieces that were able to take them over the top.
I just don't like the answer. I don't like it.
Where he started was right.
Where he started, he was on the right track. Hey, I'm probably to blame for that too. Hey, I need to play better. I need to not get injured.
Stay in shape, which will help you not get injured.
But he only framed his faults through injuries.
He didn't say,
I didn't show up in game seven. By the start of the second quarter of game seven in Boston, I checked out. He didn't say that.
Well, also, he keeps saying injuries.
And that had nothing to do with an injury.
And part of the reason he keeps getting hurt is because he's not in shape.
That's right.
Like, it all works together. Like, you can't just say, oh, I keep getting hurt. It's because you're not in shape.
And then we get to three coaches, three systems, different players every single year, and he's not wrong.
New coach.
But it's the wrong stuff to say, and it's the wrong stuff to think. Like, let me put it this way.
Lack of stability.
If Joel Embiid goes out there in game seven versus the Boston Celtics 2 years ago, and has a great game seven and lifts the Sixers to win the game, Doc Rivers wouldn't have gotten fired. Now, you might say, well, I wanted Doc Rivers fired, but I mean, I'm telling you a fact. If the Sixers had advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, Doc Rivers would not have been fired. And by the way, like, if they had, maybe they would have made the NBA Finals. Maybe. So, you know, this is not just others, and it's not just injury for you. Joel, it's about, as James said, your preparation process to avoid injury, your mentality.
Well, somehow people the organization need to convey this.
Well, let me ask Ruben. I agree with John there. So we talked earlier about uncomfortable conversations with athletes and agents, but athletes especially. So if you were running the Sixers and you heard your alpha with that mentality, now, look, different sport than baseball and football. The basketball alpha is like, there's only 5 to 7 of them. He's one of them. You know, real alphas. It's hard to, you know, you got to be careful because you go too strong and then they're like, I'm out of here. But if you were the general manager of Joel Embiid, who's thinking like that, speaking like that.
Unaccountable.
How would you handle it?
So I would go to this person that he trusted the most, that player, whether it was his agent, whether it was his best friend.
What if it's Jimmy Butler?
It was somebody on,
somebody in his life.
Teammate, somebody in his life.
Could be his dad.
He trusts, could it be
whoever. Somebody in his life.
Someone that has a real, true influence and he respects.
Okay.
And I would have that conversation and say, hey, you may want to have him change his messaging a little bit. And it may be even my PR director. Like, I had a great cast out. It was awesome. I utilized him a lot. I had a better understanding of the players because of him, and it may just be him. I mean, you saw what Kevin Gregg did with Alec Bohm. Hey, they saw you say what you said on film.
Sure.
On video. You better address this, and if you don't, and look,
they'll
what,
turn
look,
on
look,
you.
Look what happened to Alec Bohm.
No question.
I mean, you have to have somebody that you truly trust get in his ear a little bit, and if it doesn't work, then you're sort of screwed.
No, that's right. I mean, you would hope over 6 or 7 years that attempt has been made with Joel, but I also wonder if the Sixers don't just soft pedal around him because of the fear of, you know, I mean, John, you know, we talk about it all the time. The NBA players have more power. I mean, maybe other than star quarterback.
It's about relationships,
they can't
man.
Say
they
have what the power. Needs to be said because they're afraid he'll get up and leave.
But it's all about relationships and understanding people, and it's having the ability to deal with emotion. And I don't know in this day and age if people are doing it all that well. And it's something that's really a lot more important than people think.
Well, that's true. So, you know what's going to be interesting? Speaking of, like, getting to a player and trying to, you know, influence the message and encourage him in positive ways for the player and the team. John, Bob Lang has a really interesting spot here. So, for those that don't know, he runs Eagles media relations, public relations stuff. And, you know, he'll prep the coach and players for potential questions in interviews and press conferences. Like, John, Jalen Hurts is going to speak sometime in the next 2 to 3 days. Might be as soon as tomorrow. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If Jalen...
I would expect it's going to be ready at the start.
I would, too. Yeah. If Jalen is not happy with Sirianni...
then he's going to have to fake it.
And it's Bob's job to encourage Hurts to answer the question in a way that doesn't throw extra logs in the fire. Like, here, let me put it this way. Aaron Rodgers doesn't listen to anybody.
No.
Like, right. It doesn't matter who the frickin' Jets PR guy is, Packers PR correct. Guy. Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
And say whatever he wants
to do. And we don't know enough about Jalen yet to know, is he all out on that Aaron Rodgers? Like, I'm going to do anything I want. Is he going to placate? Like, we don't know. I'll tell you this. We're going to know a lot more by the end of the week. We're going to know a lot more by the end of the week.
I'm fascinated
by it. We'll
know
immediately. His demeanor, upon his first words spoken at training camp, will tell us volumes. Just the way he carries himself.
And I will say that a lot, there's no question, we've talked about this a lot, there's no more important relationship than the head coach and the starting quarterback in any sport, I believe. I believe that how Jalen will address Nick Sirianni will depend a lot on how Nick Sirianni addresses this team. I am fascinated by what he says to this team tonight. At some point when he gathers all of them, I thought that was one of the things that, as a manager and a GM and as a player, that sort of set the tone for the season. That very first address of your team, whether it's the GM, the manager, the head coach, whoever it may be, or some combination of those people, that sets the tone for the relationship moving forward.
Do you believe, Ruben, tonight, today, whenever Sirianni has that address with the players, do you think he will, even if it's only for two sentences, do you think he will address last season? Like, guys, last year is done, gone, and we are going to freaking bury it. And like, do you think he addresses the disaster at the end of last year?
I think he sort of has to reference it. I think he has to reference it in some way, shape, or form, just maybe just like that. But as a player...
Yeah, I like what you did there.
As a player...
Like, you can pivot fast.
I'm mentioning it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we're putting an end to it. Like, all that is over, and we have turned the page. Yeah.
Like, one of the things I loved about...
So I'm fascinated by what he's going to say because I think Jalen Hurts' reaction to that, what he says... will tell you a lot about where they stand.
So one of the things I loved about Doug in 2017 and Malcolm Jenkins in 2017 was they were all about moving forward despite adversity and messaging that internally to the team and externally to the public. I mean, I think most people know, but if you don't remember or if you never knew, Malcolm's famous speech, you know, we're all we got, we're all we need. That was in the locker room in Los Angeles after Carson was out for the year and the players found out, like, he's probably out for the year. Like, he got a torn knee. I guess they had to do the imaging after the game. But, like, people knew he's pretty much done for the year. They had just won a game to make the playoffs. But, I mean, everybody, all of us, all five of us were down.
It was a funeral around here.
The whole city of Philadelphia was down, right? And Malcolm gave that speech, and that's a way to say, like guys, we're going on anyway. I mean, Doug Peterson, when he put... I mean, it's also kind of... I mean, I'll hop teams. It's like Vermeil when Trent Green got injured in 99 with the Rams, and Vermeil's like, we're going to Kurt Warner, and we're going to win. We're going to win.
Messaging matters, man. It matters. Look at what Rob Thompson's done. He's one of the most successful managers in the history. In the history of the franchise.
That's right.
Right? Listen, he's got a lot of talent around him.
He does.
He's working with it, but... they have to perform, and they've had a lot of guys go down. They've had adversity. They've had things happen, but that does not take away from the messaging. Next man up. We're fine.
Yeah.
Let's go. We're going to go win.
John, I know you have your doubts on Sirianni. I'll say that, and a lot do, and I have doubts on Sirianni, but I will say this. I think what Ruben's talking about is the primary reason why Sirianni's still here. I think Lurie and Howie believe in Sirianni to deliver that message to the team today.
If they did not,
I do not believe he would be the head coach of the team anymore. Because it's kind of his main job. I mean, it's basically culture setter, and are we going for it on fourth down or not?
Boom.
That's his job.
I agree with that.
215-592.
Look, we are underappreciative of how much input he will have offensively.
I don't think so, John.
I don't know anything about that. I know about how important his messaging is because of how important the relationship is between he and the starting quarterback.
Okay. Look, there's a lot there. By the way, also today's Twitter poll question
so
of the day.
We have no clue on. We're going to piece it together. We're going to find out a lot in the next 2 days.
That's right. Twitter poll and over the next many months. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, Let's drive. First poll question, do you like Joel Embiid playing in the Olympics, yes or no? Second poll question, do the Eagles have a good defense, yes or no?
That was very self-deprecating. When you signed and then you wanted to talk to your mom and dad,
yeah,
you shouldn't do that.
What? Wait, he was saying he's not as big a deal as Saquon being signed. Here's the way.
Saquon's better than me.
I got T.O. coming here.
Don't say
Saquon
that, John.
Second,
come on.
Don't say that. And Richie third. I got Richie joining the Eagles above Nick Foles coming back to the Eagles. All right.
Yeah,
well, no one knew at the time he was about to win a Super Bowl. I mean, to be honest with you. Frankly.
Yeah, I mean, Richie was signed as a starter, right?
John coming here was a bigger deal than Nick Foles.
He was a starter. Nick Foles a backup.
Yeah. Christine, you're very kind.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
thank you.
Don't downplay yourself.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And,
it was really cool pulling up to my, you know, childhood home in a car that Andy Reid sent me in.
What if you didn't sign the document?
I don't know.
Was he going to send your parents home?
I think he had.
No, not my parents. Yeah, he drove me to go see my parents.
To go see him.
Oh, I thought they were being driven in, is what you said.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. All right. So he was safe. He was, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Christine, what do you got? What do you got on the film?
To the airport, otherwise.
All right.
Yes.
So I've got a quote for you about Suarez. Women weaken legs rock.
Yeah, that was from Mickey. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that everyone's like, Ranger, you know, his wife and kids are in, I agree.
Oh,
you
know, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is what you started, Joe DeCamera.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't me. It's a buddy of mine.
Oh, yeah, but you went with it.
I know, guys.
Causing problems here.
I know players who abstain completely.
No.
During the regular season.
Well,
I know
come on.
People who do.
But Joe, pitchers have an advantage. You only got to go every 5 days. I mean, you got your off days, you got your side throw days.
I'm telling you, I know people who abstain for the entire season.
Wow.
There's one thing that may have affected Ranger as far as his personal stuff is concerned, and that may be his routine. His routine may have been a little altered.
It could have been.
Two small children will do that to you.
Yes. That is something that is a possibility that could have affected him, but I believe it's more about the workload than the family.
I do think it changed right around then. Wasn't he also hit by a line drive? Am I remembering this?
He was, right around there on his hand.
Right before London.
But if he had any issue with his hand, he would not have pitched. And he came back and pitched. He was fine.
He did. All right, Christine, give me a big answer here.
He didn't miss any time for that.
For food or drink in a title, Christine?
I'm struggling with this a little bit, but Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a TV show, but I don't think that. I mean, bar is not a food or a drink.
You could say a bar is food.
The place you get it.
There's
but it's not.
You could say it's a candy bar.
Just say freaking tequila. Say tequila.
There you go.
Great song. I don't know if it's a great song. It's a good enough song.
Yeah.
Tequila is a better answer than.
I think you do like to bring tequila.
I do like tequila.
It's a go-to for you.
Ruben, how many words? Not okay. Let me.
One.
That's correct. Richie, why do you got to do that?
Because
I'm not trying to ask Ruben how many words are in the song Tequila.
I think I already.
How many words are
it.
Said?
I mean, I think I sort of gave it away when I talked about the fact that.
Did you know that, Ruben?
Words.
It's the only word tequila. In the song. It's pretty amazing. All right, Joel Embiid said more than one word. He actually said a lot.
Tequila.
It's good. Oh, matter of fact, hold on.
Tequila.
I got Ranger here. Now that I think about it, let me find Ranger. Here we go.
Ranger.
We haven't been playing that song lately. Come
maybe
on, right?
That's why he's been struggling. We haven't played a song.
It's
all on you, DeCamera.
All right.
It's actually Ranier.
All right, Joel Embiid. So we played yesterday some audio of this interview he had with the New York Times. Here's another piece of audio from that interview we haven't played yet. It's a good question. It's a thoughtful answer. But in my opinion, while there is some truth to what he says here, clearly, there's a lot of excuses, and I don't like that. Listen to this exchange Joel had earlier this week with someone interviewing him from the New York Times.
Do you find yourself ever having questions about, in the long term, whether Philly is the place where you can win a championship? Because there has been that sort of tumultuousness with the franchise since you've been there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody asks themselves questions. If you care about the right things and you care about winning, and it hasn't happened, which I'm probably at fault too.
Well, why would you be at fault?
Because I'm in injuries. I don't perform, you know, at the level that I should. So that's why I'm at fault. But then again, if you want to win, the thing that I always talked about is, you know, stability, continuity. Actually, having three coaches based on what I've seen is not too bad.
Not so bad.
It's not too bad. But, no, still three coaches, you know, three different systems. And, you know, even within those coaches, you know, every single year something different. And then the players, every single year is like, new co-star, like new players. And when you start looking at teams that have won, you know, whether it's Golden State, Boston this year, Denver last year, those guys have been together for a long time. And then they just added a few other pieces that were able to take them over the top.
I just don't like the answer. I don't like it.
Where he started was right. Where he started, he was on the right track. Hey, I'm probably to blame for that too. Hey, I need to play better. I need to not get injured.
Stay in shape, which will help you not get injured.
But he only framed his faults through injuries.
Yes,
he didn't
exactly.
say, I didn't show up in game seven. By the start of the second quarter of game seven in Boston, I checked out. He didn't say that.
Well, also, he keeps saying
injuries. And that had nothing to do with an injury.
And part of the reason he keeps getting hurt is because he's not in shape.
That's right.
Like, it all works together. Like, you can't just say, oh, I keep getting hurt. It's because you're not in shape.
And then we get to three coaches, three systems, different players every single year. And he's not wrong.
New coach.
But it's the wrong stuff to say, and it's the wrong stuff to think. Like, let me put it this way.
Lack of stability.
If Joel Embiid goes out there in game seven versus the Boston Celtics 2 years ago, and has a great game seven and lifts the Sixers to win the game, Doc Rivers wouldn't have gotten fired. Now, you might say, well, I wanted Doc Rivers fired, but I mean, I'm telling you a fact. If the Sixers had advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, Doc Rivers would not have been fired. And by the way, like if they had, maybe they would have made the NBA Finals. Maybe. So, you know, this is not just others, and it's not just injury for you. Joel, it's about, as James said, your preparation process to avoid injury, your mentality.
Well, somehow people the organization need to convey this.
Well, let me ask Ruben. I agree with John there. So we talked earlier about uncomfortable conversations with athletes and agents, but athletes especially. So if you were running the Sixers and you heard your alpha with that mentality, now, look, different sport than baseball and football. The basketball alpha is like there's only 5 to 7 of them. He's one of them. You know, real alphas. It's hard to, you know, you got to be careful because you go too strong and then they're like, I'm out of here. But if you were the general manager of Joel Embiid who's thinking like that, speaking like that.
Unaccountable.
How would you handle it?
So I would go to this person that he trusted the most, that player, whether it was his agent, whether it was his best friend.
What if it's Jimmy Butler?
It was somebody on,
somebody in his life.
Teammate, somebody in his life.
Could be his dad.
He trusts, could it be
whoever. Somebody in his life.
Someone that has a real, true influence and he respects.
Okay.
And I would have that conversation and say, hey, you may want to have him change his messaging a little bit. And it may be even my PR director. Like, I had a great cast out. It was awesome. He used, I utilized him a lot. I had a better understanding of the players because of him, and it may just be him. I mean, you saw what Kevin Gregg did with Alec Bohm. Hey, they saw you say what you said on film.
Sure.
On video. You better address this, and if you don't, and look,
they'll turn on you.
Look what happened to Alec Bohm.
No question.
I mean, you have to have somebody that you truly trust get in his ear a little bit, and if it doesn't work, then you're sort of screwed.
No, that's right. I mean, you would hope over 6 or 7 years that attempt has been made, which you will, but I also wonder if the Sixers don't just soft pedal around him because of the fear of, you know, I mean, John, you know, we talk about it all the time. The NBA players have more power. I mean, maybe other than star quarterback.
It's about relationships,
they can't
man.
Say
they
have what the power. Needs to be said because they're afraid he'll get up and leave.
But it's all about relationships and understanding people, and it's having the ability to deal with emotion. And I don't know in this day and age if people are doing it all that well. And it's something that's really a lot more important than people think.
Well, that's true. So, you know what's going to be interesting? Speaking of, like, getting to a player and trying to, you know, influence the message and encourage him in positive ways for the player and the team. John, Bob Lang has a really interesting spot here. So for those that don't know, he runs Eagles media relations, public relations stuff, and, you know, he'll prep the coach and players for potential questions and interviews and press conferences. Like, John, Jalen Hurts is going to speak sometime in the next 2 to 3 days. Might be as soon as tomorrow. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If Jalen...
I would expect it's going to be ready to start.
I would, too. Yeah. If Jalen is not happy with Sirianni...
then he's going to have to fake it.
And it's Bob's job to encourage Hurts to answer the question in a way that doesn't throw extra logs on the fire. Like, here, let me put it this way. Aaron Rodgers doesn't listen to anybody.
No.
Like, right. It don't matter who the frickin' Jets PR guy is, Packers PR guy. Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
And say whatever he wants
to do. And we don't know enough about Jalen yet to know, is he all out on that Aaron Rodgers? Like, I'm going to do anything I want. Is he going to placate? Like, we don't know. I'll tell you this. We're going to know a lot more by the end of the week. We're going to know a lot more by the end of the week.
I'm fascinated.
We'll know
by
immediately. His demeanor upon his first words spoken at training camp will tell us volumes. Just the way he carries himself.
And I will say that a lot, there's no question, we've talked about this a lot. There's no more important relationship than the head coach and the starting quarterback in any sport, I believe. I believe that how Jalen will address Nick Sirianni will depend a lot on how Nick Sirianni addresses this team. I am fascinated by what he says to this team tonight. At some point when he gathers all of them, I thought that was one of the things that, as a manager and a GM and as a player, that sort of set the tone for the season. That very first address of your team, whether it's the GM, the manager, the head coach, whoever it may be, or some combination of those people, that sets the tone for the relationship moving forward.
Do you believe, Ruben, today, whenever Sirianni has that address with the players, do you think he will, even if it's only for two sentences, do you think he will address last season? Like, guys, last year is done, gone, and we are going to freaking bury it. And like, do you think he addresses the disaster at the end of last year?
I think he sort of has to reference it. I think he has to reference it in some way, shape, or form, just like that. But as a player...
Yeah, I like what you did there.
As a player...
Like, you can pivot fast.
I'm mentioning it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we're putting an end to it. Like, all that is over, and we have turned the page.
Yeah. Like, one of the things I loved about...
So I'm fascinated by what he's going to say because I think Jalen Hurts' reaction to that, what he says, will tell you a lot about where they stand.
So one of the things I loved about Doug in 2017 and Malcolm Jenkins in 2017 was... they were all about moving forward despite adversity and messaging that internally to the team and externally to the public. I mean, I think most people know, but if you don't remember or if you never knew, Malcolm's famous speech, you know, we're all we got, we're all we need. That was in the locker room in Los Angeles after Carson was out for the year and the players found out, like, he's probably out for the year. Like, got a torn knee. I guess they had to do the imaging after the game. But, like, people knew he's pretty much done for the year. They had just won a game to make the playoffs, but I mean, everybody, all of us, all five of us were down.
The whole
Philadelphia was down, right? And Malcolm gave that speech, and that's a way to say, like guys, we're going on anyway. I mean, Doug Peterson, I'll hop teams. It's like Vermeil when Trent Green got injured in 99 with the Rams, and Vermeil's like, we're going to Kurt Warner, and we're going to win. We're going to win.
Messaging matters, man. It matters. Look at what Rob Thompson's done. He's one of the most successful managers in the history. In the history of the
Phillies.
Franchise.
That's right.
Right? He's got a lot of talent on Rob.
He does.
He's working with it. But they have to perform. And they've had a lot of guys go down. They've had adversity. They've had things happen. But that does not take away from the messaging. Next man up. We're fine. Yeah. Let's go. We're going to go win.
John, I know you have your doubts on Sirianni. I'll say that, and a lot do. And I have doubts on Sirianni, but I will say this. I think what Ruben's talking about is the primary reason why Sirianni's still here. I think Lurie and Howie believe in Sirianni to deliver that message to the team today.
If they did not,
I do not believe he would be the head coach of the team anymore. Because it's kind of his main job. I mean, it's basically culture setter, and are we going for it on fourth down or not?
Boom.
That's his job.
I agree with that.
215-592.
Look, we are underappreciative of how much input he will have offensively.
I don't think so, John.
I don't know anything about that. I know about how important his messaging is because of the how important the relationship is between he and the starting quarterback.
Okay. Look, there's a lot there. By the way, also today's Twitter poll question of the day.
We have no clue on.
That's right.
We're going to piece it together. We're going to find out a lot in the next 2 days.
That's right. Twitter poll, and over the next many months. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, do you like Joel Embiid playing in the Olympics, yes or no? Second poll question, do the Eagles have a good defense, yes or no?